The best thing about illustrator Heidi Woodward Sheffield's work is how it draws you in. Once you start to take in the feast of rich colors and moods in her work, it's hard to look away. You want to drink in every page. For Sheffield, a scene at the beach could include patches of rough, azure-blue brushstrokes arranged for the waves, and a wash of pastel pale blues for the sky. She'll add crunchy, dabbed paint textures to suggest kinky hair or variegated sand, and an intricate pattern for a swimsuit. Some of her compositions have elements that might have come from a child's collage, but each element is carefully balanced. Sheffield, who lives in Northville, is just as intentional in how she peoples her worlds. Her latest picture book is called Brick by Brick. It's the first one she authored as well. Heidi Sheffield, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Your style involves so much color and a lot of texture. Do you feel like it's important that people can almost feel your illustrations in addition to seeing them?
Absolutely. I think that's the kind of visceral feeling I get when I'm creating it. And it's such a wonderful place to be that I hope people do feel that.
Tell me about the time in your life when you stopped just looking at books and started actually drawing your own stories.
You know, I've been a lifelong reader, and it didn't occur to me until I was in high school when my mom said, "You know, Heidi, I think you'd be good at this." I had been a lifelong artist and a writer, you know, as in high school, actually, creative writing. And so at that time, that's when I started with some really embryonic kind of stories.
Well, who were some of the illustrators who really drew you in when you were young?
Oh, my gosh. Ezra Jack Keats. He wrote and illustrated The Snowy Day. And Winnie the Pooh, Paddington Bear. I loved the classics. I always gravitated towards those for some reason.
Could you tell us a little bit about how you work?
Sure. When I see a texture of something, anything in life, I can be walking down the street and looking at the sidewalk and I see something really beautiful about that. I'll take a picture right on the spot, and I am not a photographer, so no ideas about that, but I merely record it and I bring it home and I throw it into the computer on a page, and it's like that thing is dictating to me about what it wants to be. For instance, that swirl in that sidewalk became a swirl in the Brick by Brick story. It's a very organic thing. And as I said, it's like it's speaking to me, essentially.
I think a lot of people are surprised to find how frequently artists are working online these days. Can you talk a little bit about how the transition from being the person who throws paint around on a canvas or who works on an ink drawing, how that transition has worked out for you, whether it's been liberating in some ways and kind of maybe less intuitive in others?
Sure. So I started out by loving to paint, and I loved oils in particular. And I started to break out from the turpentine and stuff. I couldn't do the fumes either. So I was pretty sad to lose that in my life. And I remember this time as a graphic designer, I needed to take a Photoshop class for my graphic design stuff. And I took the class at Washtenaw Community College. It was amazing. John Dinser was the artist, and he actually looked at my portfolio. He knew I was trying to get into kids' books. He looked at the traditional stuff I had done. And then during that class, I had done some really kind of abstract-looking collages, you know, kind of wonky, because I didn't really know how to use the program. And so I was doing these just exaggerated kinds of art. And he looked at it and he said, "This is what's going to get you recognized." He said, "Do this, keep going." And I am not a technical person by any means, so that surprised me considerably. And sure enough, it became my thing.
Do you ever miss getting your hands on a drawing?
I do. I miss that final part of having something that's physical in the world. The only way my piece gets into the world is if I print it out on a piece of paper. And even then, you don't get that depth of seeing all those layers for yourself or seeing the thickness of the paint. That's the only part that I wished were different. However, having done some traditional collage too, you don't get the same luminosity that you can get with on the computer. You can layer hundreds of layers and come up with an entirely new texture or nuance or feeling from that. So there's something quite addictive, might I say, about putting those on the computer and doing it. And then there's something to be said too for bringing in a layer or just a texture that falls in a funny way on the page, and you realize, oh my gosh, this is going to inform the story or this character.
You came out of ad agency work. Your work doesn't, I mean, it has a sort of, you know, because there was all this texture involved, it doesn't look like what people would call commercial art. But do you see vestiges of the structure of commercial work in the illustrations that you're doing today?
You know, I think the sense of composition is probably the biggest one. A lot of fellow artists often comment about that in my work, how strong they think the composition is. You know, it's not a direct thing. I would say deadlines, you know, that kind of thing from my commercial background, those are all things that help my art. It doesn't help if you just have, you know, this horizon of no deadlines. It creates an immediacy in your work that's very helpful.
How did you gravitate towards kids' literature?
It was always, as I said, my mom introduced me to it in high school as an idea. And then it was something that I always thought, I think she's right about that. So I put it in my head and I thought, when I start a family, I will do that. For right now, I will do my advertising stuff, which was quite fulfilling. And it would give me a nest egg too, because I knew that if I started on this new venture, I'd need something to support myself.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Heidi Woodward Sheffield. She lives in Northville and creates children's books, primarily as an illustrator. A common complaint among parents of readers is the overwhelming whiteness of the kid-lit world. And that's true of, I think, of chapter books and certainly picture books, too. There's nothing overtly social or political about the stories that you work on, but each of your projects really does have a whole world represented here. Black kids, white kids, Asian kids, Latinx and Native kids, and Arab American kids, and so much more. Was this always something that was a part of your art practice?
Yes, very much so. And just as a person, I've always been drawn to the richness of different cultures. Before COVID, I enjoyed traveling quite a bit. And I always thought to myself, once I did get published, that was a goal of mine, to actually travel the world and read these books to these kids. I just think it's so important to create stories that are inclusive and to have every child's voice be heard in the pictures they look at, in their own stories, and dreaming about their futures.
This is such a huge tension within the publishing industry. I mean, there are white authors who start out with the best of intentions, and sometimes, you know, to create a more diverse world of characters, and sometimes go painfully wrong. How do you ground yourself when you're sitting down to create an illustration of a family or a person who's outside your culture?
I think it starts with the right intent emotionally, and feeling very grounded in that. I also look at people from other years. Ezra Jack Keats He was a white man who came up with an incredibly beautiful story that let so many African-American kids see themselves. And for the first time in stories, like really, truly just having a moment of being a kid. And I think it's the humanity of it. I have a hard time divorcing that part of myself that sees humanity as a whole. I have a very good friend, Vanessa Brantley Newton, and she's a collage artist. She's amazing, an African-American collage artist. And she just encourages me no end to just keep opening my heart and letting out what's in there. And I think that's important too, because I think the stories that I'm writing are about the human condition. I don't feel like I'm necessarily coming up with these ideas. They present themselves to me. So characters present themselves to me fully formed. It's like with Brick by Brick, I remember just walking by a construction site one day, and I was really taken because there was a gentleman who was laying bricks, and then he grabbed the cinder block, and then as he stood up in what was the window, he was framed in such a beautiful light, and I heard this little boy's voice saying, "Mi papi es fuerte, my papi is strong, he's a bricklayer. His arms are like stone." I always do research for my books too, because I just want to make sure that I'm doing justice to the people that I'm depicting as well.
You've got a project coming up with the writer Daniel Bernstrom that's supposed to publish in 2022, and he's an emerging Black writer breaking into picture books. Could you talk about that collaboration? Did he pick you for the project?
You know, it was an interesting project. I actually met his editor, Jill Davis, in New York a couple years back, and I had given her one of my postcards with an illustration on it, and she fell in love with this little guy. She took the card and she said to Daniel, she said, "Do you have a story that goes with him? Can you write something about that?" And so he took that and he used that as inspiration. And when he came up with the story, they came to me to be the illustrator.
I've heard booksellers say that it's getting harder and harder to get families interested in picture books, that over the past few years, parents have been more inclined to push their kids toward chapter books sooner and sooner. And the kids themselves, you know, they might be primed for, you know, they know who Harry Potter is. They might be interested and ambitious if they're readers themselves. I know my own daughter moved on from picture books long before I was ready for her to do that. Have you noticed this in play?
Absolutely. It worries me a little bit because I think there is so much to be learned from looking at picture books themselves. I mean, you learn so much about narrative looking at a picture book, so much about what is not said in the words and is told in the pictures. There's an incredible amount of nuance there. And then there's also the tender moments of just curling up with your mom or dad or your caregiver And just enjoying that moment together. You know, there's a reason why we still have printed picture books. They've found actually that, you know, they didn't go by the wayside. Even though you can get them, digitally, there is something about that moment, that contact, that coming together.
Is there a reason why you have gravitated toward picture books instead of, say, for example, graphic novels?
You know, it's funny. I think part of the reason it took me a while to get into publishing is I had what seemed to be a picture book that turned out to be a middle grade novel. So I had written bunches of iterations of the picture book and then realized, no, I need to go longer with this. So it became a 100-page novel. So I really do think I still have at least a couple of novels in me. But getting back to the picture book side, there's something I just immediately fell in love with picture books. And some of it's the economy of words. You know, a good picture book is under 500 words. And if it's more than that, then you're looking at a longer work, a novel, per se. And the same is true for the pictures. The pictures give so much information in just a snapshot. And, you know, you were asking about my advertising background before, and I think that really reflects it as well, that ability to tell story in just the snap of a finger. It's if you can't do that with a picture book, it's just going to kind of drone on and on, and it's not going to be good.
What do you think we can do as adults to keep kids engaged in visual storytelling?
I think you start at the youngest age possible. You know, when they're babies and they're basically teething on them. I think those moments, you know, from those early days, they're really bonding moments. I think if you wait too long, I think there's more to it. The older you get, the harder it is to say, oh, I don't know that word.
Is there a certain kind of reading that happens with picture books that we can encourage? Something that's maybe not driven so much by working out the words as school-age kids do, and more just thinking about what's going on?
You know, this can work with the younger readers and older readers, talking about, oh, what do you think the next page is going to be? What do you think this person is feeling? You know, seeing a picture of somebody who's kind of pensive, I wonder why he feels that way. What would you do in that situation? Just little questions that pull that reader into the story and get them thinking along those lines.
Heidi Woodward Sheffield is an illustrator based in Northville. She wrote and illustrated the book Brick by Brick, and she also created illustrations for writer Leslie Helikoski's book, Are Your Stars Like My Stars? Heidi, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for making some time with us.
Thank you.